This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Israel is in crisis, my friends. A crisis greater than perhaps almost everyone in the Gentile world understands, and certainly in America. I have in front of me a letter that I received just 2 days ago from a dear pastor friend, a Gentile friend who's been living in Israel now for 40 years. Here's what he says in part. Israel has still not started the large ground assault on these remaining terrorists in the Rafah area in response to the war against Hamas in Gaza. They're likely awaiting for the end of Ramadan. All this comes to an end at sundown on April the 10th this year. Before starting the massive assault, once it starts, this will be by far the most dangerous phase of the Gaza war for the hopefully and forever within 1 or 2 months. Hallelujah, he says. It's a little broken the way it's written here, so pardon the lack of continuity. He goes on to say the Biden administration gave lip service to fully supporting Israel in its war against the terrorists of Gaza during most of the time since October 7th. Sadly, this phony charade has now ended. It happened when the U.S. refused to use its veto power at the United Nations Security Council to stop Resolution 2728 on Monday, March 25th. This resolution puts all the pressure on Israel alone to unilaterally halt all military action in Gaza during Ramadan and beyond. A patriotic American as I am, he said, I am very concerned. Once a nation picks on Israel, they're touching the very apple of God's eye and risking courting divine judgment and even disaster. So how would that relate, maybe, to 32 million Americans living in the direct path of totality for the solar eclipse that will occur on April the 8th? Is there possibly a prophetic message connected to this upcoming eclipse, he asks? Well, I'm not going to answer that question, but he said, I believe, in fact, that the living God is trying to speak to America right now. I couldn't disagree with that. Couldn't disagree with it at all. So if indeed in Israel is facing such a crisis moment, then how is it that our special guest today could say with integrity that Israel at war is still one of the world's happiest countries? We're going to have to explore that from her when she comes on the program from Jerusalem in just a few moments. But before we get to that, I want to explain something or help us to understand a kind of connection attitudinally and perhaps historically between what happened in America's founding and what's happening with Israel today. A fellow by the name of Thomas Paine wrote a piece called The Crisis back in 1776. Here's what he said. His words are famous and have been repeated over and over again. These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheaply, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. Heaven only knows how to put a proper price upon its goods. And it would be strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be highly rated. He goes on to say, my secret opinion has ever been, and still is, that God Almighty will not give up a people to military destruction or leave them unsupportedly to perish, who have so earnestly and so repeatedly sought to avoid the calamities of war by every decent method which wisdom could possibly invent. Thomas Paine, in his piece called The Crisis, and today, Israel is in crisis. Our special guest, Tamar Yonah from Jerusalem, she is the voice of Israel, you might say. She has had the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio for 8 years, and before that, she was the voice of Israel on Israel National News for 13 years. That's 21 years so far. She's joined us here, has been on this program a number of times over the past 10 to 15 years, and here she is again, Tamar Yonah. Good. Welcome to the program, Tamar.
Shalom, Chuck.
Well, I like that. Shalom. Peace. Well, the Bible says men will cry peace, peace, but there is no peace. And it seems like that's kind of the way it is right now, but we know that at some point you're expecting peace and we're expecting peace as well. Is that a legitimate hope?
Yes.
All right. Why do you do what you do there on Israel Talk Radio?
Why do I do it?
Yeah.
That's a big question.
I mean, you've already told me in private that you are not only a mother, but you're a grandmother of 10, soon to be doubled, even more than that. I mean, you're a busy lady. You have a lot invested in the role of mom and wife and so on. What about this radio business?
Chuck, you know, Israel is a country that was started on a socialist type of government. It was a poor country, and only the last maybe 20 years or so it's been freed up more and more capitalistic. Mm-hmm. A lot of that was brought in with Netanyahu. But the government of Israel doesn't have an official English radio station. And so if we don't do it on our own, then people here who are diplomats or who are journalists and they want to hear news in English are going to have to hear news from Jordan, which is right next door to us. And then they're going to hear reports instead of saying that three terrorists killed two Israeli soldiers, they're going to hear three freedom fighters killed two Israeli occupation soldiers. This is what they're
going to
hear.
In other words, viewpoint determines destiny and what people are going to hear.
Well, we need to give people who are outside of Israel, who want to know what's going on, accurate news.
Well, that's why I brought you on here today. You and I had to do a bit of a dance in order to make this happen, because you're actually joining us live from Jerusalem at 11 p.m. your time, aren't you?
That's right.
Well, that's a bit of a sacrifice, but you sound very much alive. Have you had a good dose of black coffee to do this?
Oh, I had two cups.
Good for you.
Freshly brewed.
Freshly brewed. Okay. Well, that's great. I've got my cup right beside me here, so we're well prepared here with sufficient information. What is it? Why is the world so outraged about the situation of Israel trying to protect herself, trying to rid herself of Hamas? When Hamas has dedicated itself for years, its founding document, to the destruction of Israel and to spread that destruction everywhere they can throughout the world. I want you to think about, before, as we go into this break, why is it that the Gentile world is on a full court press to create outrage in Israel for her destruction? We'll be right back, friends. This is Newport.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. The Jerusalem Post yesterday contained this headline: where is the world's outrage on behalf of the hostages in Gaza? The six-month milestone of the Hamas pogrom is fast approaching. On April 7th, we will mark half a year since Hamas massacred 1,200 Israelis and abducted another 250 to the Gaza Strip. Over 130 of those captives remain in the terror army's dungeons, it says. But where is the rest of the world? Well, that's a good question. Where is the rest of the world? It seems that they're all elevating themselves against the Lord and against his anointed, just as the prophet in Psalm 2 said was going to happen. What say you, Tamar?
Well, I think you need to ask the world that question, because people in Israel are bewildered. They don't understand how it could be so clear who is the evil party in this attack on Israel and who are the innocent party and trying to protect themselves and the lives of their population. There was a ceasefire on October 6th between the Hamas and Israel.
Right.
And the Hamas on October 7th broke that ceasefire.
It seems that the world has forgotten that.
Conveniently.
Yeah.
But they came into Israel. They murdered men, women, children. They raped, they pillaged, they tortured, and they kidnapped families, men, women, children, and babies. And the world says nothing. We have no idea even what the fate of our hostages, our kidnapped, are. We have no idea who is alive. We have no idea who is dead. And we saw footage from the cameras of the terrorists themselves, how they had killed people in Israel and then picked up their bodies and threw them into trucks in order to hold the bodies hostage as well. We are not dealing with an army like France against England. The people that we're fighting don't even wear uniforms. They disguise themselves as civilians. They use civilians as shields. And I'm sorry to say, and sad to say, that the civilian population in Gaza supports the Hamas.
That is what is astounding, and the rest of the world seems to think that these poor Gazan people need to be protected against Hamas, when in fact they are the undergirding force of Hamas.
That's right. You know, we saw during World War II, when the Nazis had taken over France, and they were in complete control of France, and yet there were civilians there who joined the resistance. They joined the partisans, and they fought the Nazis. And yet we don't see anything like that with the Arabs in Gaza. They're all for them. In fact, I've watched Al Jazeera News because I like to see what the other side is saying and how they're reporting things, which is very slanted.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting to see. And one of them was saying that because they're claiming now that Israel is starving them and that people are starving to death and there's a famine there, which is absurd because we know what it looks like when you starve to death. We saw the Jews in the Holocaust who looked like living skeletons, and you don't see the Gazans walking around like we did. But one of them was saying, we would rather eat sand than surrender to the Jews.
Isn't that amazing? And so we see even Hamas actually taking these resources that have been provided by the West and by America for the Gazan people, and Hamas takes off 50% of them for themselves. They don't care about those people, do they?
They use their people as human shields, and they feel that if they die, they're going to be Shahideen, they're going to get the reward in the next world. They don't value life.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think like the West. They don't think like the Jews. They value death. And it's a very, very sad thing. But this is what the population voted for. I want to remind your listeners that in democratic elections, the population in Gaza voted in the Hamas to be their leadership.
Mm.
And they're standing by them today as well. How, I have to ask the question, why isn't there one Gazan that has gone to the Israelis and said, we know where the hostages are, we know where the kidnapped people are, here's where they are, and we want, you know, we're against what the Hamas did.
Very good.
Nobody.
Point. Very good point. So the question still is on the table. Then why is it that initially there was an uprising on behalf of Israel saying, wow, this is terrible, you've been attacked, this is horrific, and so on, and then within a few days or a couple of weeks, all of a sudden the sentiments of the world changed and Israel became the bad guy. How did that happen?
Well, I think it happened as soon as Israel went in to defend itself.
Hmm. Okay. So when Israel goes in...
The world likes to see Israel weak and likes to mourn over dead Jews, unfortunately. I have to say this. It's my father's a Holocaust survivor. I grew up with knowing how the world was quiet when Jews were being put on trains to be cremated alive, when they were tortured. My grandfather was murdered by the Nazis. My father lost everything in the war, and the world was silent. And today, when we see another Holocaust, not on the same scale, but the most terrible tragedy for the Jewish people since the Holocaust, the world, again, is quiet, and not only quiet when it comes to Jewish lives and Jewish kidnapped people and raped women. You don't see women organizations saying these are war crimes. How can they do this? We have to stop this. In fact, they're marching down the streets of Los Angeles and New York and Miami and Melbourne, Australia,
right,
and France and London, etc. They're for the terrorists.
It's amazing. It's utterly amazing. And I have to believe that what we're looking at, and I'm just going to say it how I see it, and I believe that this is the biblical viewpoint of this, and that is the world is drastically envious of the Jewish people and Israel because, precisely because, God chose Israel, regardless of what you think of whether Israel has been a doer or a not doer of the Word of God. God chose Israel as the apple of his eye, and the rest of the world says, not so fast, we're not going to put up with it.
I think a lot of what we're seeing today also is a secular world today. I don't think that the world has ever been so secular in the history of the world. There's always been religious Christians, religious Muslims, religious Jews, and we're living in an age today where secularism, communism, New World Order, globalism, and man is going to be the masters of their own destiny, and they don't believe in God, they don't want God. And I call them today, these people on the left that are making these problems that you're seeing in the United States as well, you know, trying to take everything that's holy and pervert it.
Yeah.
And pervert nature, saying men are women and women are men and children can get sex changes without telling their parents, and all of the perversity that we're seeing today. It's a rebellion against God. And I tend to call these people the modern Tower of Babel people.
Exactly. You must have been reading my books.
Dethrone God.
You must have been listening to my program and reading my books, Tamar. I mean, back in 2013, I wrote the book King of the Mountain, the epic internal and end time battle, for it is written, he who rules the temple mount rules the world. And that's the goal of the world, to replace God. The enemy of our soul, Satan himself, will place himself on the temple mount in the temple of God, declaring himself that he is God. And human beings are trying to do that through technology. In my book, Messiah, I have a whole chapter talking about the messianic role of technology, human beings wanting to become their own God to rule the world. So Israel is experiencing a lot of this very same outpouring. But what concerns me, in addition to this, is the uprisings in Israel now, with something like 10,000 carrying on a massive demonstration against Benjamin Netanyahu, going to his house, or trying to get there anyway, and upend the rule of law, so that the Shin Bet had to come after them and say, we're not going to allow this kind of unruly behavior in this country. Why is this happening?
Well, I think that those numbers are inflated. We're talking about hundreds of people gathering and or a few thousand.
Okay.
But they're very loud, and they are the left.
Like what we have in this country.
Whether it's in Israel or whether it's in America or whether it's in Russia or whether it's in China. The left ideology is the same. So whoever is trying to destroy the United States of America, that left is doing the same thing here in Israel.
Okay. I agree with you. Could not disagree with a single thing that you're saying there. And it's good to hear your voice and your perspective on this. So, that being the case, then with two-thirds of Israel, the Jewish people in Israel, being seculars for the most part, where is the hope of Israel? Where is the strength to undergird someone like Netanyahu who is desperately seeking to protect the country against enemies foreign and domestic?
I think, again, that these numbers are incorrect. I remember a few years ago seeing statistics that only around 5% of Israel is secular.
Really?
The rest of Israel, yeah, around 20% are Torah observant Jews. And around 5% are secular, and the rest are traditional Jews. In other words, they don't keep all the commandments of the Torah, but they will have some type of semblance of the holidays and of the Sabbath.
Oh, okay. It's what we would call in this country cultural Christians.
Perhaps.
They're people who claim to be Christian,
but
they're
traditional Jews.
Yeah, okay.
And they do believe in God, and they do celebrate the holidays.
Okay. Okay. So in Israel, they'll celebrate Passover, what's coming up in 2.5 weeks or so. And they'll celebrate Yom Kippur, and they'll celebrate, maybe they'll celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. But beyond that, they're just not much into it, right?
Well, I mean, again, on the Shabbat or the Sabbath in Israel is a very special day.
Sure.
Most things are closed, even by the government. Government offices, things are closed. And again, people will be on their different levels of religiosity. Is that how you say it? But, you know, some will, we have what's called Kiddush. We have a blessing that we make. We have a family meal together. And then afterwards, they'll go to the beach or they'll go somewhere, where other families will stay home, and because that's the traditional way to do things in Judaism. So everyone's on their own level, but the majority of the country is very much identifies with their Judaism.
Okay.
Especially now, by the way, after October 7th.
Ah, okay. So necessity has been the mother of invention, and actually has pressed people, as the scripture says, adversity turns men's hearts toward faith.
Well, the world let us know that they don't care what kind of Jews we are, if we're religious or conservative or more reformed or more secular. Jews are Jews, just like in the Nazi Germany. Didn't matter. And we realize that we are one nation, and we need to stick together and be united.
All right. One of the things that really caught my attention as I was contemplating this program today is there is a sense in which Hamas has become like Amalek. From the Jewish viewpoint, Amalek became virtually the whole Gentile world that was against Israel. But Hamas is very much the same way, isn't it?
The Hamas wants to kill us because we're Jews. And after they would kill the Saturday people, they're going to go for the Sunday people.
Exactly.
And it's not just the Hamas. It's the Islamic fanatics who unfortunately have a lot of power around the world, and they're marching down your streets and down the streets of Europe as well. And as they say, I don't say this, this is what they say, first the Saturday people and then the Sunday people, first the little Satan, Israel, and then the big Satan, America.
Yeah, well, you know what's interesting, and you didn't know this, but I have just completed writing my 11th book, called When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. And what is persecution for professing Christians is called anti-Semitism for Jews, and they're growing at the same rate worldwide. We're living in some very challenging times. We'll be right back after this. Tamar Yonah, our special guest from Jerusalem.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Israel in crisis. That's what we're talking about here today on Viewpoint. And just as Israel's in crisis, people who love the Lord, throughout the world are in equal crisis as secularization has taken over our world. The war against God is growing more and more intense. And our special guest today, Tamar Yonah, who is the host of the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. That's IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, where she has headed this up for 8 years. Tell us exactly what you do there. You're the managing director. What does that mean?
Well, I started the radio station. And we got a team here to do a lot of different shows, and everyone's invited to come and listen in.
And how does the Israeli government respond to you?
Look, we're over the internet. It's almost impossible to get a license to broadcast on the airwaves here. It's also extremely expensive.
Right.
And since we broadcast in English, Our audience naturally is people from outside of Israel, because inside of Israel, like myself, I listen to the Hebrew radio stations here.
Uh-huh. Well, now, you came from America. You actually were born in the U.S., weren't you?
I was, yes.
Where were you born?
I was born in Chicago, but I grew up in Southern California.
Where? Where in Southern California?
The town I grew up in is so small, I doubt you ever heard it, but it was in the Orange County area.
Okay, well, I spent 30 years in California, 20 years of law practice there, taught school for 9 years.
Wow.
So, I knew a bit about Southern California, too. But you're in Israel now. I have a question for you. Are more with the Gaza war and the intensity of the United Nations, the EU, even the current administration in our government here, being seemingly against Israel, what is the state of Aliyah, that is, those coming to Israel from around the world?
Well, people are, more and more Jews are coming to Israel. It's still not a lot. However, I did see one article saying that the Jewish agency here in Israel that's in charge of absorption is expecting around another million Jews to make Aliyah, to move to Israel in the next 3 years, I believe.
Wow. So now, wait a minute. That would be a huge increase.
We're around, right now Israel's around a population, I think, of 9 million people and around 6 to 7 million Jews. So that would be around 8 million Jews here, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's about 8 million some Jews, and the whole total brings you up to about 10 million with everybody else that's there. So maybe it's because you reported that Israel, while at war, is still one of the world's happiest countries. How could that be?
You know, I didn't run that poll. That's some international poll. I'm
right.
Not sure which one it is, but I would have to say by the fact that usually a country or a nation that's very happy and optimistic, they're a country that's going to have a lot of children. And Israel has a lot of children. And you walk down the streets here and you see mothers with baby carriages and you see children playing and there's children everywhere. It's family values here and people are optimistic.
It was a Jewish, I think he was a psychiatrist who said, he who has a why to live can withstand almost any how. And, you know, he was dealing with the Holocaust. You're dealing with some very crisis moments here, crisis hours in Israel. But I think people are increasingly finding, you know, this is our place. This is our purpose. This is our why to live. Is that how you see it there?
Well, I'm a Jew, and my country is Israel. That's the land that God gave the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. And though I appreciate America, and I love America, and I love the American people, and I have a lot of good feelings towards America, and I'm rooting for America.
Uh-huh. We need all the rooting and prayer that you can bring, by the way, because we're in
right,
crisis,
I'm hoping,
too.
I'm hoping that you'll get a better government, a better president in the White House this next election.
Mm-mm-mm. Speaking of that, what, in your perception, is the general tenor of the Jewish people with regard to who they would prefer to see in the White House from America?
You know, I don't think that Israelis are really looking that far right now. They're kind of looking at who is in the White House presently, mm-hmm. and the pressures and the threats that he's putting on Israel. He's not letting us fight this war as we should be fighting it. And unfortunately, our leadership today are afraid. They think that they can't survive without America, without getting arms. And and so they're succumbing to the pressure and the threats of the Biden administration.
Reminds me of a passage of scripture in the Old Testament there. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. But we will trust in the Lord our God.
Psalm number 20 of King David, yes.
Has that kind of escaped the mind and heart of Jewish leadership?
Look, the people who are in power right now, the prime minister, Netanyahu, he's mm-hmm. not specifically a religious Jew. He's a more traditional Jew.
Okay.
But I think that he's more of a mindset of practicality. He deals with leaders all over the world. And he has to worry about the defense of the country, and he's looking at things from a very practical manner. However, there are elements, good elements, in his government that are religious and are saying, we need to do what we need to do, and we have God with us, and we're going to win. And I think that Israelis, whether they're very observant of the Torah or not, also have this belief that we are going to win. The question is what the cost is going to be, and that depends also on the leadership. And if they have more of a fear of God rather than a fear of Biden and his threats.
Exactly. You know, I've said over and over again here on our program tomorrow that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, quoting there in the book of Proverbs, but also the fear of man brings a snare. And if we don't fear God, we're going to fear man. And if you fear man, then you become beholden to the pressures that man puts upon you, including the United Nations, the EU, the Biden administration. And therefore, you cannot become a true people of God because you become enslaved to man. Respond to that.
Well, I wouldn't generalize that as saying a people. I think it's on a personal level, and mm-hmm. that's exactly what the Torah teaches, that we have to have fear of God, because otherwise, if you're going to fear other things, then you're a slave to your fears. That's everybody has are slaves to their fears today,
right.
And that's why we want to have that trust in God, that he controls everything, and everything that he does is ultimately for the good, and we have to have that faith. And we have to listen to God, and he wants us to listen to him.
How can we listen to him when there's so much noise going on out there and the cacophony of the world through the news media, which is almost all extremely liberal and left-wing, as you say, is giving us a noise level that it's almost impossible. I mean, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. How can we be still amid this cacophony?
You know, God gave us a brain, and we need to use our brains, and we need to be able to think and do, what is it called, critical thinking, and thinking, is the information that I'm being fed the truth? And let me look for the truth. People have to search for the truth. And so I want to tell your listeners also, when they hear all of these calls about genocide, I want them again to use their brains and think. If Israel was doing a genocide, let's look at the Arab population in Israel.
Right.
We could have destroyed them. But yet the Arab population in Israel has grown.
It's about 1.75 million. Yeah.
It's a lie. So people have to understand. You know what? Listen to IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and you will get accurate news, and you'll get the voice from Israel, and you'll be able to see and use your brains and process correct and accurate information.
That's a wonderful. I appreciate your powerful statements here tomorrow, and that's why I wanted to bring you on the program. It's been two and a half years since you and I talked. Now, there's a fellow by the name of El-Sisi, who just was reelected as the leader of Egypt's president. And he has been a relatively more moderate figure than some others in the past. But they are building a massive wall to prevent the Gazans from entering Egypt. Now, if they have such a love for the Gazan people, why are they doing that?
Because they don't have a love for the Gazan people. The Gazan people used to be under Egyptian rule before 1967 when Israel liberated that land. And I want people to understand also that Gaza is part of the tribe of Judah. That is, if you go to the book of Joshua, you will read and see that Gaza was part of the land of Israel, and it's actually occupied by these Arabs. But I think people should also try to think and ask the question, wait a second, doesn't Gaza have two borders? It has a border with Israel and it has a border with Egypt. Why isn't Egypt giving them free passage out? Why are they keeping them locked in?
Right.
And these are people that used to be under Egypt. They're people who share the same language, the same religion, and they used to be Egyptians themselves.
Well, so why is it then that when the United Nations decided to establish Transjordan and then Jordan, it was for actually the very people that have become known as the Palestinians? Why doesn't Jordan open its arms of hospitality to the Gazans?
Jordan used to have Yasser Arafat and the PLO and these Arabs who identify as Palestinians, which is a fake nation. My father actually was a Palestinian. The Jews were the Palestinians.
Yes.
And the Arabs were either southern Syrians or Egyptians. They would take umbrage if you called them a Palestinian because that meant Jew. But they've taken that name to try to give themselves legitimacy.
There you go.
To be able to live here in the land of Israel.
So important. We'll be right back after this, friends. Tamar Yonah, I know you're glad that you've joined us today.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Welcome back to Viewpoint, friends. Israel's in crisis. America's in crisis. There is a sense also in which the entire world is in crisis. And we were warned about this very thing back in Psalm 2, that asks this question, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain and foolish thing? The kings of the earth arise themselves against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let's tear their bands asunder. But, you know, God's going to respond. He's going to have them in derision. He's going to laugh at them and says, you know, you guys better get your act in order, because don't you realize I'm God and you're not? But the nations don't realize that. In fact, the more so, they reject that idea and are now increasingly believing that they are God. The World Economic Forum, with its effort to rebuild the Tower of Babel and the spirit of the Tower of Babel for globalism that God defied in Genesis chapter 11, and now they say, no, we want to resurrect it. This is the appropriate time. This is our last opportunity. So Joe Biden has gone on board with that. Yes, he has. Even John Kerry, his former Secretary of State, said that Biden's election was going to be the key to launch the World Economic Forum and the Great Reset for our time. It certainly seems that everything he has been doing is heading in that direction. So where is God in all of this? Where is God in all of this? Where is God in Israel's crisis? If Israel's crying out to God, where is he? What's happening? And what are they expecting to happen? Are they looking for the United States to become a surrogate God? I'm looking right now at an article that came out. It's a very lengthy article from the Russian Times yesterday called The Death of Empires. History tells us what will follow the collapse of U.S. hegemony. Really? If that were true, then Israel's trust in America is a false trust. Respond to that, Tamar.
I want to make a comment on what you said, where is God? And I want to say that here in Israel, we really feel God. And you know that just before your program started and we were briefly chatting, red alert sirens. Sirens were coming on over my phone that the south of Israel was being rocketed by the Hamas. And earlier today, we were getting red alert sirens in the north of Israel that the Hezbollah was sending in their rockets, etc. And yet, it used to be a time when whenever we would have red alert sirens, I would run and keep my finger on the pulse of the news to see if any buildings were destroyed, any people were hurt, anybody, God forbid, killed. And you want to know something, Chuck? I don't even do that anymore.
Good for
because
you.
People feel this umbrella of love over Israel that they attack us and attack us and attack us. And what have they accomplished? Very few people are killed. Very few buildings are hit and damaged to Israel. And you really feel this umbrella of love that God is protecting us.
All right.
And
now
since October 7th, with all the miracles that have happened, people are becoming more and more Torah observant, coming back more and more to God.
All right. Well, that is very, very good news. So the U.S. up till now has been a protector of Israel. In fact, it was Harry S. Truman who actually was the first one to acknowledge the existence of Israel back in 1948. And then I think Russia after that. But Harry Truman was opposed by his own Secretary of State and the State Department. He had to go to war against them to recognize Israel. And so, in a sense, Israel has looked to America to be its big brother defender. But what if the United States, what if God judges the United States? What if the United States turns on Israel and joins with the rest of the nations, much like both Obama and now Biden are seemingly doing? Then where is Israel's trust?
You know what? We learn in the Torah that Israel, in Hebrew, it says, Am Levadad Yishkon. It means Israel is a nation that dwells alone. And we're starting to see now, and it's even been on Israeli news, which is very slanted left-wing because it's the media. And even they're saying that Israel is being isolated in the international arena.
All right, I'm glad you brought that up. You quoted Numbers chapter.
I have to say, this is all in the prophecies, what our prophets said, that we are a nation that dwells alone, and the sooner we realize that, the better off we're going to be.
Absolutely.
We need to realize also,
you quoted Numbers chapter 24.
Yeah, nations don't have friends. They only have interests. And the Biden administration has their interests. They're the left wing in the United States as well.
Right.
And they have their interests to make a weak Israel so they can control Israel. And that's why they don't want us to win. Because if we win and we become strong, then we're not as controllable. And that's why, by the way, the international community wants a weak America. Because then they can control America as well. That's why they want to take your guns away from you. They don't want to see strong Americans and an independent America. They want you to fall in line with the global agenda. So the United States and Israel are both bones in the throat of the globalists.
My dear friend.
You have your Constitution, and we have our Torah, and we're not going to bend, and the American people that believe in the Constitution are not going to bend.
Well, we also should believe in the Word of God, as you have spoken of with Israel. And if we don't trust God, we're going to trust man, and man is untrustworthy. That's exactly the point. And you quoted Numbers chapter 24, the prophecy of Balaam. And the interesting thing is Israel's history has been seriously challenged by a refusal to agree with that prophecy that Israel will be left alone among the nations and will not be considered among the nations, and has always wanted to be considered among the nations by demanding a king just like all the other nations. So that is the pattern of history. And do you think that pattern is changing significantly then now?
You know, I just want to say a word to your listeners and say that we learn also in the Torah, in the Bible, that those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel will be cursed. And it's good for America to align with Israel, not just for America's sake, but for the wholesomeness of the world, for the
exactly.
morality, because if they let the Hamas win and get away with this, it's going to go to, you know, they're not marching down my streets. They're marching down your streets.
Exactly. Do you know, right now,
you've
I have in front
careful.
Of me. I have in front of me an article from the Jerusalem Post, came out yesterday. ISIS calls for Ramadan massacre of Christians and Jews by lone wolves, especially in the U.S., Europe, and Israel. Just exactly what you're saying. People don't quite get it in this country.
I don't know what to say, except that people should cling to God and to righteousness and to holiness and to be good to each other and not to support evil and not to be silent when there's evil.
Exactly. If you're silent when there's evil, you know, you get what you deserve. Let me ask you a question. Your husband is a rabbi, isn't he?
Yes.
So, and you're Orthodox Jews?
Yes.
Okay. So let me ask you, because people in this country don't quite comprehend the different levels, or how would we say it, the way Jewish people belief system and so on. So at the top of the rung is what is called the Haredi. They're the most fundamentalist group of Jewish people. Then below that is, as I see it, is the Orthodox. And then below that are the so-called conservatives. And then below that are the Reform. And below that are the total seculars. Do I have that pretty much right?
Yes, but I wouldn't use the word below. I would just say that there are more Torah observant Jews and less Torah observant Jews.
Oh, okay.
Because a lot of the Jews don't even have a Jewish education. They don't even know, but a lot of them are coming back to the Torah.
Okay. Now, with regard to the the Orthodox versus Haredic, what's going on there? People in Israel seem to be against the more Torah observant Jews. Why?
Well, I wouldn't say people in Israel are against the Torah observant Jews. I would say that the left which is a small minority, but they have a lot of money and power, and they're noisy. And they are trying to, they're trying to destroy God. And by doing that, you try to destroy God's people.
In other words, the same thing that's happening in this country.
Yes. And I want to say a word for the Haredi. I am not Haredi, but for the Haredi Jews, they are a wonderful population here in Israel. They run all sorts of organizations that help people who are sick, that help people who are poor. Uh-huh. They give out food. They're doing a lot of charity work that religious people do, because a religious person realizes that we're all God's children and they want to help.
All right. They've been excluded from the military since the very birth of Israel. And now there's great pressure to include them in the military and in the draft because of the need to fight Israel's battles. What's going to happen? What do you think should happen?
Look, I have two sons who are in the military. They were both fighting in Gaza, and one is going to be going up north, God forbid, soon, because we're expecting a big attack from Hezbollah and from Iran now as well.
Mm-hmm.
The Haredim who are sitting and studying Torah, that is just as important for the Jewish people to win a war as is fighting on the battlefield. So everyone's doing their job.
Okay, well, that's an interesting way of putting it. And it's obvious that you have been on radio for quite some period of time, and you're not hesitating to speak. Now, the scripture does say in the book of Zechariah, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about. And in that day, I will make Jerusalem a burdenstone from all people." And God is going to save the tents of Judah first. "In that day, the Lord shall defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God. And I will seek to destroy all those nations that come against Yerushalayim." It seems that things are heading that direction, doesn't it?
Yeah, in fact, Russia has just brought a whole bunch of ships to the Red Sea area where the Houthis are, by Yemen, and American ships are there, and British ships are there, and I believe French ships and Chinese ships. So you really see God bringing these nations from the international world into Jerusalem. I just wanted to make one little statement that I didn't say before, and that was with the Haredim. I want people to understand that there are some Haredim that already do serve in the Israeli military,
so they
should understand. Some do and some don't.
Okay. Well, you and I have covered the waterfront here. There's probably a lot more we could talk about, but I felt that these were the things that would be most important, and you have enabled us to focus on the most important aspect of the things that are important, and that is both for Israel and for America. If we don't humble ourselves before the God of creation, the God who made and preserved us here in this country, a nation, and the same for Israel, we're going to have a crisis that is going to make the current crisis look like a Sunday school picnic. So it behooves us to all humble ourselves in significant ways and become scriptural adherents and observant, I would say. Tamar, I'm so grateful. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for the kind of relationship that we've been able to establish here over these years, and for your taking the time, sacrificial time there at 11 p.m., your time to join us from Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of Israel. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we pray that God, in his mercy, will accomplish his purposes, because he said, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Thanks so much, sister.
Thank you.
Friends, this is Viewpoint. You've been listening. Viewpoint does determine destiny. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Do it today. Don't delay. The other guy's not doing it. Today is the day of crisis.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.